took it time out of your busy schedules and everything to be here. And please understand one thing, that whatever you sow, God is going to bless. All right? Your time, your effort, your money, whatever it took you to get here is a seed into the kingdom. And whatever seed you plant into the kingdom, expect a harvest. I mean, expect it. This ain't just church talk. You understand what I mean? Because we're in the kingdom of God. And that's what we have to understand, that in the kingdom, there is a time for sowing, and there's also a time for reaping, all right? And God's seen your heart. God's seen the decision you made, as Vaughn said, to get here, to be here, to listen, to participate, to pray, to do whatever you're going to do this weekend, all of us together, collectively. But I'm just speaking to all you who came from far off and those you came near, all right? Expect a harvest from God. Because as a people of God, we have to expect God to move in our lives, each and every day of our lives. I don't care if you got saved yesterday, you've been on this road for 30 years. Expect something from God. Expect him to do something different. We serve a big God, all right? And we have to go deeper in him. He ain't got to go no deeper in us. He gave us his Holy Spirit, amen? It's up to us now to go deeper into him. Now, I was just telling the home group the other night, you know, these scientists talk about they found a new galaxy. No, God just said, you think you're smart. Woo! How you like that? How you like that? And I got more to show you. Every time we think we got God figured out, he moves something different. Amen? Amen. So, Father, we just thank you this morning, dear God. We thank you for the heart of your people, oh God, who want to come together, oh God, as a group of believers, dear God, sold out for you, oh God, to come together, to learn from one another, to teach one another, oh God, but most of all, to get closer to you, Lord Jesus. So we thank you for this time together. We ask you that you would allow your Holy Spirit, oh God, just to reign and rule supreme here today. Let us feel your tangible presence, oh God. Touch us in a way that we've never been touched before, oh God. Move us in a way that we have never moved before, oh God. Draw us closer to you in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen? Amen. I just thank God for my brother, our overseer, the big fella. That's our shack right there. Okay? That's our shack right there. Right there, that's our shack. Amen? Because whenever Vaughn calls me, I know it's for a reason. But I thank God for his spirit, and I thank God for the connection that me and him have in the spirit. You know, I thank God for my brothers. I thank God for Josh and Gary and Rich and all the pastoral team. We're a very unusual church because we have 7 or 8 pastoral teams, husband and wives. We don't fight. We don't argue. Sometimes we disagree, okay? But there's such a mutual love and respect that we have for one another, for all the giftings and the anointings that God has placed on our lives. And that's what you have to understand as individuals, all right? You ain't chopped meat, as everybody told you maybe throughout your life. You are somebody because you carry the anointing of God in your life. I don't care what the rest of the world says. I don't care what your family says. I don't care what your husband says. I don't care what your wife says, your children, your neighbors, or anybody else says about you. You got to remember what God says about you. Because that's the only thing that really matters, is what God says about you. And you have to get to the point that that's the only thing that you respond to. But like I said, I thank God for Vaughn because, I know when he says, Don, I need you to do this. I know it's for a purpose, and I know it's for a reason. All right? Because they know I wake up every day on fire. I don't care what's going on, what the weather's like, whether the sun's shining, tornadoes are coming, hurricanes, I'm going to be on fire for Jesus. Amen? Because of that cross, just to give you a little testimony, I used to be a drug dealer, drug addict. I was in prison, but how do you like me now? All right? How do you like me now? See, because God's the only one that can step in your mess and turn it into a miracle. Amen? And that's what we are commissioned to do, to step into people's mess and turn it into a miracle. That's what we do. That's what the body of Christ is designed to do, and that's what you have become a part of. Amen? You just didn't come part of a church. You're part of the body of Christ, who Jesus is the head. The anointing, the same spirit that raised him from the dead, is the same spirit that lives inside of you. And I always ask the question that if God could touch a man with no heartbeat and no pulse and you're alive, just think what he could do in your life if you let him. Amen? Just think what the anointing of God could do in your life if you just allow him to. But there's certain things that we have to shed. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 5. And I'm just going to use this as a start, but we're going to track a little bit about Jesus and everything else. How much time I got, brother? 10:30 is good? Okay, great. All right, see, I'm a man under authority, too. That's why you always got to speak, all right? You have to know authority. Let me just say this. Church folks, those who come into the body of Christ, those who call themselves believers, all right? There is authority in God's house, and there is order in God's house. And you might not like it, but guess what? This ain't the White House. This is God's house. See, in the White House, it's democracy. In God's house, it's theocracy. He reigns. He rules. What he says, that's it. Like it or not. All right? That's the way it goes. But we all have to be under the authority. Jesus, the Son of God, as powerful as he was, even when it came to his ministry, because we're going to get into that too, that John came preaching repentance of the gospel. Jesus stepped right into what John was doing. He didn't say, John, I done showed up. I'm the son. I got the miracles. No. You understand that? Whatever God has set forth, that's what we step into. All right? Because there's order. And that's what we have to understand. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, did I tell you that? I just got to tone it down a little bit for a minute. You know, sometimes I got to talk to myself. Easy, boy. We going to get there. All right? Because I'm excited. I'm always, they'll tell you, this ain't no hype. This is me. Okay? 24-7, home group, 5 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock at, well, I'm not up at 12 o'clock at night. All right? But this is me. No matter where you see me in the church, you see me in the mall, you see me at the bank, this is me. This is how I roll. All right? So sometimes I just got to wind it down a little bit, all right? So we're going to start 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 12. This is Paul writing to the church, all right? Understand, the great Paul the Apostle had such a great love for the church. And when you read the epistles and you read the letters, you should get a love for God and his church too, all right? Because this is for us. This is for the believers. The rest of the world could care less. All right? But we have to be the ones that are be willing to embrace everything that God is speaking to us through his word. All right? Jesus already dead, you know what I mean, did his thing, died on the cross, rose. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He ain't coming back until he comes back to reign and rule, okay? But he gave us his word, 66 books, to guide us and direct us in everything that we're supposed to do. So this is, Paul is talking about being reconciled to God. All right? Being back in the right relationship with God. God is no longer mad at us. We're not enemies of God because of our bad behavior and our sinful nature because of Christ. All right? And this is what we have to understand, that we're in the right relationship with God. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer to those who boast in appearance and not in heart. The show-offs he's talking about. Okay? For if we are besides ourselves, it is for God. And if we are sound in our mind, it is for you. For the love of God compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And if he died for all, that those who should live, live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Okay? We always use that next scripture. If anyone be in Christ, we is a new creation. But Paul is saying, unless you die, there ain't no resurrection. Okay? So we have to get rid of self in order for the new creation to come. All right? Therefore, verse 17, 16, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone in Christ is in Christ, that he is a new creation, that old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. All right? All things. Everything in your life. you call yourself a born-again believer, then everything in your life should be brand new. The way you talk, the way you walk, the way you act, where you go, what you listen to, what you watch, who you hang out with, okay? Does everybody understand it? Because there's a reason why Paul is saying all this, and we're going to get to that, all right? Because he said, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. See, you ain't got to look for no ministry. You already got a ministry. Why? Because Christ was reconciling you back to God. See, I ain't got to look for no ministry. All I got to do is look for drug addicts. All I got to do is go into the prison, because that's where I've been. You understand? Wherever God snatched you out of, that's your ministry. What Vaughn was saying earlier, you have already experienced that. You ain't got to go to seminary for all that. Okay? No, it's good. Don't get me wrong. I went to Bible college. I teach Bible college. Okay? I'm an instructor in the Bible college. But I don't need that for me to talk to a drug dealer or somebody who's in prison. All I need to talk to him is about the cross and the blood of Jesus to save my wretched soul and turn my life around. Amen? That's all you got to do. Because you know where God snatched you from. You know what was going on in your life. You know what you were participating in before you said yes to Jesus. So if God reconciled you through that, guess what? You now have a ministry of reconciliation. That's what Paul is saying. You now have the ability to get all them other people, your friends, your family, your neighbors, who is in the same predicament, and reconcile them back to God. Simple enough, right? That's simple. That's simple. And then he goes on to say in verse 19, that is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Vaughn was just talking about that. The word that's in your mouth is able to save someone else's soul. The word that should be living in your mouth, the word that should be coming out of your mouth. Jesus said in John 7:38 that if you believe in me, as the scriptures say, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Okay? So it all comes to our belief. And now, here's the point that I wanted to talk about today is, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are the instrument of change in this world for the kingdom of God. We are ambassadors, okay? An ambassador, we act as a representative for God. That's what we do. And that's what we have to understand, that every day of my life, I represent Jesus Christ in this earth. Every day of my life, it doesn't matter where I'm at, whether I'm at work, whether I'm at home, doesn't matter where I am, I represent Christ. And that's where we're falling short as being a body of believers. Now, it also talks about Christo, okay? Christ is the anointed one with his anointing. It says if anybody be in Christ. It didn't say if anybody be in church. Okay? There's a difference here, because you can go to church, and I know people have been going to church for years. There ain't no Jesus in them, because they can talk in tongues in church and cuss you out in the parking lot. That ain't Jesus. You understand what I mean? So Paul is talking to the church that if anyone be in Christ, and like I said, he's already in you, you got to step into him. That's why Paul said in Galatians 2:20, that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in him who loved me and gave himself for me. This ain't about us. This ain't about my opinion. This ain't about how good the praise and worship team. If I was sitting back there telling Josh Vaughn is all up in my stuff, all right? But same spirit, you understand? Same spirit. It ain't about us. We didn't have nothing to offer God except our wretched souls. It was grace that saved us. So if you didn't have nothing to offer, then it can't be about you. It's all about him and what he has done for us through the cross, through the blood of Jesus, cleansing us, washing us, making us whole, strengthening us, giving us power to overcome our sinful desires, giving us the power to say no to everything that is contrary to the will and the ways of God. Does everybody understand that? You're a new creation. It doesn't mean that the stuff that you were around, the temptations, the women, the men, whatever it was, we ain't got to go through the gamut, okay? But do you understand? Now, it doesn't matter what the enemy puts before you, you have the ability to say, no, it ain't happening. Remember the woman at the well? See, because when this thing about Creo means that through the idea of contact, to smear or to rub, Christ means the anointing of God. If anybody be in Christ, if you be in the anointing, guess what? You are a new creature. You are a new creation altogether. When you step into the anointing of God each and every day of your life, you're a brand new person. You ain't that same old person. Yeah, you might look like that same person, okay? But you ain't supposed to be acting like that same person. Why? Because the anointing of God is on your life. All right? And because the anointing's on my life, and because I am a new creation, I represent him. I am an ambassador for him, okay? We have a United Nations down in New York, down in the bottom of New York, that has all them flags. All the people that come here, they're representing the interests of their country. We are kingdom citizens. We're supposed to represent the interests of the kingdom. That's what we're supposed to do as a body of believers, as the church, no matter where we go. Why? Because the Bible says that the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell within. It don't matter whether I'm in Kingston, Canada, Africa, Australia, I still got kingdom power. That's what an ambassador does. They come over here with their little dossiers and their little packages, and they're representing the interests of their kingdom. When they open it up, they ain't talking about the Declaration of Independence, okay? They ain't talking about Pledge of Allegiance and all that. No, they talking about the interests of their country, amen? And that's what we are. That's the way we have to see ourselves. Yes, we are born again. Yes, we are Christians. But guess what? I represent the kingdom of God. I represent the kingdom of God. So therefore, when you're at work and they come with them little off-color jokes and all that stuff, I'm not entertained by that. Okay, that's great. Now let me tell you something. See, we like to back away from people. Not me. Like my boss. He got a little potty mouth. You know what I mean? All the time. Yeah. And I just looked at him. I was sitting in front of him one day. He just going on cussing. I said, you do know that by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. And he just stopped. He said, what? I said, do you know that by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned? He said, where is that at? I said, in Matthew. I need to look that up. I said, you sure do. You sure do. See, I represent the kingdom no matter where I go. See, I'm not held hostage by a paycheck. Are you crazy? I'm not held hostage by a paycheck. You might not like it. You might fire me. My time is up. God gonna give me a better job. I don't care. But I'm gonna open my mouth. See, you don't have to allow people to talk to you any type of way. Call you everything but a child of God. You don't have to be belligerent and all that. Speak the word. Because it made him back up. It made him stop all of that. Because it made him think, I'm gonna be condemned? Or I'm gonna be justified? See, because that's what we have to understand. In Matthew 4, after Jesus came out of the wilderness, all right? And a lot of times you ain't going to understand what's going on. And that's a good thing. How many people go through, I don't know where I'm at. I just don't feel like, hey, God, where are you at? That's the wilderness, okay? That's what he did with the Israelites, okay? 2 billion people. Bent over, okay, with all the riches of Egypt, God took them to the desert, not to the mall. You can't spend money in the desert, okay? And some of you are going through a wilderness period right now because you don't understand what is going on. But it said that when Jesus went through that wilderness period, he came out with power. He came out with power. And then he started his ministry, and he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. All right? And he preached the gospel. It says from that point on, Jesus started preaching the gospel. All right? And that's in Matthew 4, 17, the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And that's when he said in verse 19, he said to them, to Peter and all them, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Understand one thing. If you ain't catching men, then you ain't following Jesus. Okay? You wonder why ain't nobody getting saved? It's because you ain't following Jesus. You ain't following the pattern. See, love hit the earth when Jesus Christ came. All right? And Jesus took these guys through 3.5 years of an apprenticeship because they were going to take over his ministry. He wasn't just God. He came to set the ministry in order, the right ministry. It wasn't that there was a church going on, Pharisees, Sadducees, and all that stuff, but they didn't have the power to do anything about changing sin, right? All they had was the law that they were abusing, misusing, and doing everything else. But Jesus came to restore kingdom order, the kingdom of God, God's reign and God's rule in your life, all right? And if you're going to traffic with God and call yourself a bona fide believer of God, either Jesus is going to be Lord of all or he ain't going to be Lord at all. And that's in every area of your life. But understand this. Jesus took these guys through an apprenticeship to turn them into disciples. All right? Look it down in chapter 4, verse 23. And it said, Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sicknesses, all kinds of diseases among the people. Then his fame went out throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted in various diseases and torments, those who were possessed, demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. That's the kingdom. See, when we show up, the power shows up. All right? And we are ambassadors for Christ. It doesn't matter where we go. It doesn't matter what type of sickness, what type of illness, what type of disease. That when we show up, we should have the power to change things. That's what the kingdom is all about. And being an ambassador to Christ. You say, well, I'm not there yet. Well, let's get there. All right? Let's get there. Why? Because the book says, as a disciple of Christ, a disciplined learner. That's what a disciple is, a disciplined learner. And it's through the word of God. That's why in Hebrews 4:12, it says that the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Pierce it. The division of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When you speak that word, I don't care what people's thoughts, I don't care what people's intentions are going on, you're going to be able to discern. You understand that? That's the power that you got through the word of God. But it has to be living inside of you each and every day. Each and every day. The reason why the church is so weak is because you don't go into the word, allow the word to affect your life, and let it be released from your mouth so it will affect someone else's life. That's what we have to do. I'm an ambassador for Christ no matter where I go. All right? Come on. I'm an ambassador for Christ. No matter where I go, from this day forward, I will represent him. Because that's who we are, according to this word, according to what Paul was saying. So you have to understand that the disciples was the ones trained by Jesus to form the church. All right? Jesus took them through this whole thing from this point. Then he got, after he went to the cross, after he went in the grave, then he rose up, then he gave them the Great Commission. Does everybody understand that? There's going to be a period in your life where you're going to have to go through some training. You're going to have to go through some teaching, all right? So you understand what the kingdom principle is all about, how Jesus dealt with people, okay? See, because you cannot have a conversation with Jesus and your life not change. The woman at the well had a conversation with Jesus. She became an evangelist, all right? The man at the pool had a conversation with Jesus. His eyes popped open. All right? Them 10 lepers had a conversation with Jesus. He said, go show them. And it's your obedience to what God is showing you that your miracle is going to happen. Amen? So if I'm a disciple of Christ, because the Bible says that a disciple is not above his teacher, but disciplined enough, he could be just like the teacher. See, but we have to discipline ourselves in the word. We have to discipline ourselves just like now, because this place should be full. Because we got more people in this church than what is showing here. Everybody for Kicks Fire, stand up. Okay? Now, after this, after I get done, you need to get on the phone, call your prayer partners, call everybody else and say, where you at? Where you at? Jesus has showed up. Where you at? Discipline. Discipline. Training that corrects. That's what discipline does. Jesus took them through a 3.5-year apprenticeship that changed their whole lives. But it was training that corrected them. He had to correct them. Remember John and James? Because they didn't want to hear Jesus in Samaria. What do you want to do? You want us to rain down fire? See, these boys had power. They wasn't thinking about it. They said, do you want us to rain down fire? Jesus said, whoa, 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 whoa. You know what I mean? See, everybody think that Peter, James, and John was the most spiritual. No, no, no. See, Jesus had to keep them boys on the short leash because they understood. Peter was to say that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I know exactly who you are. They knew exactly who they were. That's why Jesus kept them. No, you three are going to stay right here where I can watch you. Okay? Because it was even in the garden. Okay? Listen, you need a Peter. Everybody need a Peter around you. Okay? Because, see, when the enemy shows up with the troops, Peter didn't back up. He went, whew, your ears come falling off. You need a Peter. You know, it ain't happening, boys. Okay? But we have to understand who we are. Okay, we have to understand who we are. We are ambassadors for Christ, all right? Get your little, you know, read, take time. Listen, I work and I do all types of stuff, but I'm up 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning, okay? Before I go to work, I spend at least two hours, prayer and word. It depends on what God is doing in the morning. Sometimes it's all words. Sometimes I don't say a word, okay? Because once he shows up, there ain't nothing to do, like Alice was saying, you know? I don't read the word to preach. I'm a preacher. I know God called me to preach, okay? There's been times when I don't know what I'm going to say until I step back here and boom, it just happens, okay? Study. Don't know, because the Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God, okay? Workmen, not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that, which means that if we have to rightly divide the word of truth, that there are a lot of people out there wrongly dividing the word of truth, amen? So therefore, we have to be on point. Okay? But if you're going to read to preach, you in the wrong spot. Okay? Because it says this word is living. It should be inside of you. The psalmist said, I've hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Okay? So I don't read to preach. I read to get in the presence of God. I know he's going to give me what to preach. All right? You have to get the heartbeat of the people. See, when you study Jesus, it said Jesus had compassion. He felt in his gut what was wrong with them people. And then he moved to do something about it. How many times do you feel what's going on in your house? How many times do you feel what your husband, what your wife is going through, be able to speak a word or lay your hands on it and change that situation and circumstance? That's what ambassadors do. We show up in the midst of chaos and calm the storm. That's what we do. We're ambassadors for Christ. Listen to what this guy says. He's talking about this because after Vaughn, it's amazing. Vaughn called me. I was reading and bang, just like that. What I'm going to speak about. See, when you're in connection with God, it's all going to work out. But you got to stay in his presence. You got to stay in his word. You got to stay there. It says, being an ambassador is a position of great honor and responsibility. Someone who gives his own opinion would never qualify. If you're going to be an ambassador of Christ and all you got is a big, well, the way I think about it or the way I feel, you can't represent Jesus because he already says about the way he feels. Okay? See, the biggest hot button right now is this homosexual issue. You know what? You're going to bust hell wide open. I don't care what Obama says. I don't care what Cuomo says. God said it's an abomination. You're going to burn in hell. He nuked him in Genesis and in Judges, and he's going to nuke you again. Bottom line, like it or not, that's not my opinion. That's the word. It's an abomination. Sexual immorality is an abomination to God. I don't care how you try to twist it, how you try to make it fit. It's an abomination to God. An alternative lifestyle. Who's alternative? God said Adam and Eve. Be fruitful and multiply. People of the same sex ain't being fruitful and multiplying. It's impossible. It's against the design of mankind for God. All right? So you can't be opinionated. You can't go with the word. Listen, he says you have to know the mind of your king and represent his interests only. Remember, we're ambassadors. I'm not representing nobody. I'm representing the kingdom. All right? Often the kings would recall their ambassadors after only 2 or 3 years because they were afraid that they stayed in another country too long, they would become more concerned with the country's interests than the interests of the king. They used to call them back because they knew if I allow you to stay there too long, you're going to be just like them. How many of us are just like that? That's why Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciples, don't hate your mother, don't hate your father, don't hate your husband, your wife, your kids, and even your own life. You can't be my disciple. See, because you can't have everybody else's interests and have the kingdom interests. There's only one interest, and that's the interest of the kingdom. And what is that? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever shall believe shall not perish but have everlasting life. See, God's about people. All right, Paul said it was like God imploring through us, be reconciled. Our job is to be reconciling people back to God. And you can't let that TV, them videos, them CDs, and everything else you got change your mind about your responsibility in the kingdom. You can't allow that. And that's what Jesus told his disciples. See, that's what we got to do. Go back after this. Chapter 4, and then read the Sermon on the Mount again. Because Jesus gave them all them kingdom principles and everything and then taught them what to do and then let them go. And they came back all fired up. Yeah, man, them did. And Jesus said, cool it out, boys. Okay? That's what you're supposed to be doing. But the big issue is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's our main issue. That's why Paul, when you read Paul writing to the church of Colossians, he said, if you have been dead, if you have died and now risen with Christ, set your mind on the things above. See, we too got our feet too grounded down here and forget that we got somewhere else to go. I'm just passing through this place. I got somewhere else for me to go. But we have a responsibility why we are here and make sure that we don't let the interests of this world. We too must guard our hearts from becoming more sympathetic to the interests of this present age than the interests of Christ. Paul writes, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and it could happen so easily. Demas was seduced by the things and lured away by the appeal of this world. How many things is the enemy dangling in front of your face trying to get you away from the Lord? This present age. Whatever feels good. Whatever looks good. You know, it's sad. The church, the body of Christ, the divorce rate is higher than the unsaved. Why? Because we're test driving, okay? I want a newer model. I'm tired with her. Give me the new version. I'm tired with him. Give him the new version. See, because we got the interests of the world. We're allowing the world to lure us into what they believe. They ain't supposed to change us. We're supposed to change them. They ain't supposed to change us. I'm an ambassador. Remember that. Come on, beat your chest. I'm an ambassador. I don't care what you say. See, because the problem of it is you want everybody to like you. They wanted to kill Jesus, okay? They wanted to kill him. He told his disciples, come on, boys, we're going back to Jerusalem. What? They want to kill you up there. I know, but we got to go back. They're going to kill you too, but come on. It's all right. Come on. Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? Everybody ain't going to like you. They're going to hate you. They said if the world hated me, they're going to hate you too. So if you got haters, you know you're doing the right thing. Ain't nobody supposed to be liking us. I don't care if you like me. Everybody know that. I don't care. My wife was always trying to tone me down. I do not care. I don't care if they like me. I don't care if they talk about me. I don't care. Because I represent him. Okay, because he went to the cross for you. You didn't go to the cross for me. How many people don't like you, call you up? Can I pay your mortgage this month? Can I pay your car payment? Can I buy you some car? No, they don't. They don't like you. So don't care about what they're saying about you. You understand? I represent him. It was his blood. It was his anointing that's in my life. I don't care about you. You can't add nothing to me that God has already given me. Except frustration, drama, or whatever else is going on in your life. That's why it ain't going on in my house. Like Joshua, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Okay? Even the spiders going to be screaming hallelujah. Whatever's in my house, we're going to be praising the Lord. Okay? The Lord does not change his ambassadors every few years. We have a lifetime commission. This great commission to go forth. And Jesus said, go. Okay? In the same way, see, Jesus was a one-word man. When it came to Peter stepping out the boat, what did he say? Come, Peter. That's it. Come. And when it comes to this great commission of us going into this world, going into your neighborhood, going into the jail, going into the old folks' home, because we go all over. That's why I love this church, because we go. If they let me in the door, I'm going first, and then I'm going to say, you do this, you do this, you do that. You take over that ministry, you take over that ministry. Okay? Because it's about duplication. Now, I know what God has called me to do. I'm an evangelist at heart. So I know what to do. I know how to get in the door, but I don't have to stay there. My job is to build you up, to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And that's what we got. We have a ministry of reconciliation. Does everybody understand? You have a ministry to reconcile the world to Christ. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. Stop saying, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Because Jesus gave you the ability to do it. That's why Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things, not just some things, all things. I could do this. And that's the attitude that you got to get. I could do this, even when you shake it. Before I got up here, I still, see, I'm a preacher. I've been preaching for 16 years, okay? But I still get butterflies in my stomach, okay? And once you lose that, that means you have arrived, then it's time to go home, okay? And I ain't ready. I ain't homesick yet, Lord, okay? But in your naturalness, yes, you're going to be nervous. Yes, you're going to feel that. But stand in the anointing. If anyone be in Christ, if anyone be in the anointing, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Josh Ortman used to be scared to death, but look at him now. Powerful, powerful man of God, our leader, that stepped into the anointing that God gave to him. All of us, we all where you were at one time, but we stepped into the anointing. We stepped into the things of God. We stepped into Christ, who empowers us, who speaks to us, who lives through us, who gives us discernment, who gives us wisdom, who gives us words of knowledge, who gives us everything that we need. Peter said, God has given us all things that pertain to this life and godliness. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way is a person, the truth is a person, life is a person, and it's Jesus Christ. Step into who God has made you to be. Step into that. Why? Because I represent him. That's why we ain't supposed to be wearing all the stuff everybody else is wearing. Okay? Just because Wall Street says you're supposed to show what God has given you, no, no, no. We're Christians. We have been called out. We are set apart. Jesus said, Father, don't take them out the world, but keep them in this world. All right? Why? Because we're representing him. We ain't representing ourselves. Okay? We ain't representing ourselves. The only thing we show is to our husbands and to our wives. Okay? Because once you come into the body of Christ, there's only four relationships that you have. You have a wife, you have a sister, you have a daughter, okay, and there's one more. Help me out, somebody. Wife, sister, do no. Father, okay? Or mother, okay? I ain't got no little wifey, all right? Or all this. Boyfriend, girlfriend, okay? Get to the point, body of Christ, where you date to marry, okay? If you don't date somebody, you're going to marry them, okay? We ain't cars. We don't test drive to see which one fits, all right? That's it. In the same way with the God comes to the God, you either got a father, a brother, a husband, son, There you go. All right, son. All right, everybody understand that? Why? Because we have been called out. You have been called out of the world. You are now in the kingdom of God. We operate on a totally different set of principles. Does everybody understand that? We don't care what the world says. I don't care. That ain't me. Okay? And if you want to live like that, even your Christian brothers and sisters, if you want to live like that, that's fine. I'm not doing it. Okay? Because I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear, depart from me because I never knew you. I was just playing church. Mm-mm. I don't want to hear that one. I done already had enough hell in my life, and I made a decision. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That's all I want to hear. That's all I want to hear. You on your own if you go the other way. Okay? So this is a lifetime commission. Therefore, you must be careful to keep your mind and your heart set on the interests of God alone. You're the one that has to do that. As a pastor, I can't do that for you. I can preach you from Genesis to Revelation. But until you make up your mind to set your mind and your heart on the things of God, I can't do nothing for you. Okay? As gifted, as anointed as I am, I can't do nothing for you. You have to make that decision. And once you make that decision, now I can step in. Now every one of our pastors could step into your life because you have made a decision. I want to live for God. Help me to live for God each and every day of my life. Help me to represent him no matter where I am, no matter what I do. Help me, pastor. Then I could do something for you. But until you make that decisive decision for your own life, the way we had to make this decisive decision for our lives, nothing is going to change in your life. Absolutely nothing. But understand, because of the cross of Jesus Christ, you now have the power. Why? Because Jesus paid the penalty, number one. And number two, he gave you the power over sin. You got the power. It's in your hand. You have the authority. Doesn't matter if sin steps to you. Pull out your little Holy Ghost gun. Boom. You gone. Okay? Because you have the authority. My brother-in-law is a state trooper. Okay? He's a New York state trooper. It doesn't matter where he's at. When he puts that uniform on, 65 miles an hour on the thruway, which nobody does, okay? Trucks could come flying down at 85, 90 miles an hour. When he steps out there and goes like this, them brakes are coming on. If not, then the Glock comes out and he's going to stop anyway, okay? But you understand what I'm saying? You have the power. You have the authority. Take the power. Take the authority as an ambassador for Christ. But understand, Paul is saying that if anyone be in Christ, you are a new creation. Let the new creation come out of you. It's in you. Because the day you said yes to Jesus, God placed it inside of you. Let it out. All of us go through that period of shaking this thing off like a snake shedding its skin, a lobster shedding its shell. You understand? We all go through a period of that, but let the new person come out. You're going to like that new person. Okay, I guarantee it. See, because if you were broke and now you got money, you're going to like that new person. Because I didn't like broke. I like the new guy. Unbroke. Okay? It's no different. It's no different. It's no different with your spiritual life. Walk in the power that God, Christ, died and gave it to you. He said he gave it to you. He gave you that power. Okay? And as long as you fear men and seek their praises, you can never properly represent your king and his kingdom. Why? Because the fear of man brings a snare. As long as you're fearing what people's going to say about you. Oh, they call me Holy Roller. They call me Jesus Freak. No, they call me a Jesus Nut. Okay? And I like it. All right? Because everybody knows. Everybody knows. Listen, I worked in the Carpenters Union for 16 years. Okay? Most of the most unsaved, ungodly people I've ever been around in my life. But you know what? There was one time that this contractor that I worked for, and to this day, I don't know how he knew. But there was break time, and there was about just as many people, carpenters, electricians, plumbers, and everybody else. He said, come here, Donald. And I'm like, oh, what happened? And he called me up, and he said, listen, I'm going to tell you all something right now. This is a man of God. He said, if I hear any off-color jokes, if you don't turn them radios down and act in the way you're supposed to, I'm going to fire you. That's what the boss told them. just as many people as in this room. He said, does everybody understand that? This is a man of God, and that's the way you all better handle him, or I'm going to fire you. See, when you walk in kingdom authority, you ain't got to say nothing. See, I represent Christ every day of my life. Every day of my life. And when I went back into the Carpenters Union after, you know, I got saved again, it was this guy. He said to me, a wise guy, he said, hey, listen, I heard you found Jesus. He found you, however that works. You know, so he got all these jokes and jokes and jokes. But you know what? God said, I'll make your enemies your footstool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was sitting in my truck one day because I was doing concrete. And I used to take my muddy boots and throw them in the back of my truck and put my sneakers on so I didn't have all that mud. And out the corner of my eye, this guy used to be the first one out the parking lot, throwing, you know, gravel and everything all over. And out the corner of my eye, I seen his Cadillac coming towards me, right? And I just looked at him. He looked at me. And he said, Donald, will you do me a favor? And I said, what's that, buddy? And he said, will you pray for my son? Because he's going to the Iraqi war. He said, will you pray to God that he'll take my son over and bring my son back? Now, see, at that point, I could have been just as smart as he was to me. But I represent the kingdom. And I said, I'll pray for you, brother. I said, before I even pray for him, I said, don't even worry. He's going to go, and he came back. Because I represent the kingdom, and I know it. I know I represent the kingdom, and that's what you have to know. That's what Paul was saying to the church. You have to know who you are at all times. At all times. Not before you get on the plane to go to India, Africa, or wherever we're going, back to Canada, Costa Rica, all the number of places, Romania, all the other places that God's going to send. You have to know who you are right now in Lake Katrine, New York, and who you represent each and every day of your life. Because that's the only way them things are going to happen. And I ain't got to be all preachy and all that, but I do tell them. I do tell them that lifestyle is going to send you to hell. What, am I going to scare them off to hell number two or somewhere? Huh? If people are out of order, you need to tell them, because most people don't know that they're out of order with God. And you have to explain to them about a creator, a loving God who created all of this. There was a big bang. Yes, when he spoke, bang, it happened. That's the big bang. Okay? That's the big bang. Okay? And then take them to Genesis and see how God formed man out of the dirt of the earth, how he breathed into him, and seeing that there was no suitable mate for him, so he made a mate for him. You understand? We all got a suitable mate. Just wait, he coming. God is fixing him. He probably asleep. He going to wake him up. Adam went to sleep. He wake him up. Just be patient. Okay? He want to wake a right man. Okay? Wait, he'll wake him up. Okay? And fellas, he'll get that rib out. Don't worry. And you only get one rib. There is no spare ribs. One rib. Okay? One rib. That's all you get. Okay? That's it. That's the way God rolls. Monotheistic. One, 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 one. All right? That's God. That's all God. But understand, that's who we represent. And it's a good feeling, man. You know how puffed up I was when that guy said, that's a man of God. And if you all act crazy, you're up out of here. You know what that did for me and my spirit? See, that's the things that we have to capture. Forget about all the negativity. What about all the good things that people are saying about you? What about your family that is now saying, you know, something different has happened in your life? You don't talk the way that you talked before. You don't act the way that you act before. See, because you're representing Christ. Then you just puff up and say, well, I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador. Ambassador for what? I'm an ambassador for the kingdom of God. Would you like to come into the kingdom? So that your chest will be puffed up too, just like mine. You understand? This is what it's all about. See, we're supposed to have joy. Josh should tell you, he worked with me for 2 weeks. Okay? It's straight up bliss all the time, man. Dancing, partying, we having a good time, man. Godly music, working together, loving each other, praying every morning before we, you know, start work and everything. It's great to be saved, church. It's great to be saved, man. Don't let nobody downplay your salvation. So what? Let them hate you. You know, tell them. Quick Check sells them big things of Haterade down there. Go buy one. You know? Go buy one. Don't hate me because I like to smile. I'm saved, baby. You know what I mean? There's a wrath that's going to hit this earth, and I ain't going to be part of it. All right? But as I go day to day, I understand who I represent. See, I can't make you play me out of pocket. I can't make you cuss, you know what I mean, cuss. Nobody can make you. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So nobody can make you do nothing. You need to check what's going on inside your heart, because what's inside your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Guaranteed. You get in the right situation, the right circumstance, it's coming out. Okay? So when you squeeze orange juice, you get what? I mean, oranges, you get orange juice. Grapes, you get grape juice, grapefruit juice, so on and so forth. What happens when your life gets squeezed? What comes out of you? What happens when you get squeezed? When the pressure of life hits you? If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. See, because it doesn't matter what happens to us. Jesus said, trials and tribulations you will have, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Church of the living God, you are overcomers. The stuff that you're going through in your life is to show you that you can overcome. I don't care what's going on in your life right now. God has put you in a place so that you can understand what he has placed inside of you through your relationship with Jesus Christ, that you can overcome any temptation, any struggle, anything that is going on in your life. You can do it. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're a person of honor and a person of responsibility. Remember that. As we start this conference off and we go on, I want you to drill that in your mind. I'm a person of honor and I'm a person of responsibility. Because what comes with the honor comes the responsibility. See, everybody likes the honor. But what about the responsibility of living a godly life each and every day of your life? Around your children, around your family, around your neighbors, around your coworkers, around this world. That no matter what is going on, that we should be able to speak life into every deadly situation that's going on. Amen? Because that's us. And Paul taught us, that's us. If I'm in him, I'm a new creation. Everything else has passed away, and all things have become new. And Paul said, listen, I count it in Philippians 3 and 8. He said, I lose everything to gain the knowledge of Christ. He said, I count it all rubbish. This is Apostle Paul. Okay? This man can speak 13 different languages. All right? Hebrew of Hebrews. When it comes to being a Pharisee, he was the top dog. But I'm giving it all away for God. What is God asking you to give away? Because I know some of you have heard God's voice. Some of you have been called into full-time ministry. Some of you have been asked to give up jobs. Some of you have been asked to give up relationships. What are you willing to give up for the kingdom to represent him? To count everything as rubbish, education-wise and everything. They need to knock on education. You need to be educated, all right? Because the Bible says that my people perish from a lack of knowledge. We need to be knowledgeable people, but that's not the all in all. The preaching of the gospel is the all in all. Like Vaughn said, as far as being disciples of Christ, Jesus said, go ye therefore and make disciples. But you can't make what you are not. Amen? You can't make what you are not. So all of us have to, you know, look at ourselves and say, where am I at, God? It's always self-evaluate. I do it all the time. Self-evaluation is a good thing. That's the only way you're going to walk in power. Because even though you are saved, that carnality could kick in and you think you have arrived. All right? And then God has to slap you a little bit to make you say, come on up a little bit, okay? I don't want you there. I want you here. Let us rise to our feet, all right? Because I want you to think about your relationship with God. I want you to think about what this word has spoken into your heart, because I only preach what God gives me. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks to your heart. And I want you to think about, where am I at with God? Where am I at as far as being an ambassador for Christ each and every day of my life? All right? It's not to beat you up. It's to lift you up. Because I want to pray with people. We want to pray with people. We want to pray with people today. So that way we get off on the right foot with this conference. We get into the right place. That we shake off all the things, this baggage and everything else that we got going on in our lives. That we could represent him. Right? That we could represent him. Because that's all I want to do in my life. I want to represent Jesus Christ, and I want to represent him right. I don't want it to be my opinion. I want it to be the word. I want it to be the power of God working through me. That when I see somebody that's sick, that I can pray for them and they get healed. When I see somebody in trouble, I can step into that place and change that confusion into something that is positive, that is healthy. And if that's you and that's what you want, come, 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 come. If there's somebody in here who wants me to pray for you, or you just need a touch from God, the fulfillment of the Holy Ghost working through your life, come on, church, just relax, relax. Come on through. I don't care what your title is. All that. Don't get caught up in the titles and everything else like that. All right? It ain't about your title. It's about your position. You're a son. You're a daughter of the Most High God. You represent him. You want to represent him well. One thing about Jesus, he represented the Father and the kingdom perfectly. Read the Gospels. Read about Jesus Christ and see. No matter what Jesus encountered, he represented the Father perfectly. Perfectly. And that's what God wants. God is calling his church to the place where only they could see Jesus. Only they could see Jesus. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Step forward. Come on. Oh, yeah. Step forward. Step into your destiny. Step into Christ. That from this day forward, I'm going to be a new creation. Let's just think about it. Just pray about it. I'm going to be, get it on your mind throughout this whole weekend. I am going to be a new creation. A brand new creation. Not the same old thing. Not the same old watered down thing. Newness is coming into my life from this moment because I'm making a decision to allow that Christ that lives in me to come forth with fire, with power, with authority, because that's who I am. That's what Jesus went to the cross to make me to become. Amen? Amen. Come on, we're going to pray. Allow the Holy Spirit just to touch you right now.
One of the things we need to learn. Thank you, Jesus. When you're in ministry, you're always glad when somebody's ministering with you. When you go overseas in a team, make sure that whoever's ministering, that you are pulling with them, agreeing with them. Wanting to see change, lives breaking through. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for everybody here this morning. We know how much you love to touch us and can continue to fill us, minister to our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Heal our bodies. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's one thing I love, many of the things I love about Pastor Don is he is a walking reality of I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed. He's like this all the time. He doesn't have up days, down days, bad hair days, indifferent days. I've known Don for 4 years now, and I've never seen him any different than this. So I want to encourage each and every one of you that the joy of the Lord really is his strength. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And offer this heart, oh God. Completely. So what could I say?